Ann also told me that Mozambique's president and cabinet are leading the aid effort in the hardest hit city, Beira. And that's important because locally led relief efforts are often better positioned to save lives and protect their communities than their international counterparts. That's according to Amy Costello. She hosts Tiny Spark, a podcast devoted to how the aid community works.
There's talk of setting up these mega camps, two of them apparently, according to the World Food Program. And that brings about a number of concerns when you're trying to centralize, you know, aid in that way in these large camps.
Yeah, I mean, just the word camp alone, I mean, we know that the dependencies that aid can lead to, especially massive amounts of aid. So how does supplying that aid start to raise these political and ethical questions?
Well, it's all about power, isn't it? Who has the aid and who doesn't? And those who wield the power, who wield the aid, we have seen, unfortunately, can abuse that power. And I think also in a country like Mozambique and other nations in this area, there's many people who are spread out in very rural areas. And so there are questions about how do we get aid to those who are most vulnerable, who are not in eyeshot of cameras and city centers.
Do you have an example, Amy, of how you saw this power dynamic play out during the time you were based in Southern Africa?
I've been to food aid distributions, and in an ideal situation, they are highly regulated because there are all kinds of opportunity for corruption and abuse to take place. There's so many people desperate to get their hands on that aid that you have to be very careful that the powerful people, whether they have weapons or muscles or just political power, don't take the aid and keep it from those who need it most. And so, you know, what I saw were best case scenarios where there is order and structure to food distributions, to medical delivery. And that's really kind of imperative and yet will be the ultimate challenge given the incredible challenges that the country is facing right now. But yes, I've seen the way that humanitarian aid can be abused. I've seen the way that UN peacekeepers and other quote-unquote helpers can abuse local populations once they get in there. So yeah, there's lots of things to be concerned about, and I've seen them myself, and many other people have reported on them over the years in crises just like this one.
Obviously, just because well-intentioned aid efforts frequently lead to unintended results doesn't mean that generous aid shouldn't be sent to these people. But how do you make sure the aid isn't abused?
It's difficult to have oversight in the best of situations in many countries around the world, let alone after a disaster like this one. However, it's very important that people support these efforts, and people should certainly not be sending sweaters or old clothing or canned goods to Mozambique at this point. Cash is always best. These aid organizations also want people giving month to month, so have a little debit taken out of your account, because long after the cameras are gone, these people are going to still be struggling, in fact, probably suffering. And so if we can just have an ongoing charitable contribution to organizations that have a presence on the ground, who have a history in Mozambique and the other countries where they're working in, that's ideal. But they certainly need financial support, ideally cash. And I think we as international helpers or donors like to think that we can come in and we know best how to handle these situations. But time and time again, what we're learning more and more is the importance of true partnership and collaboration with Mozambicans so that they can plan their own future, they can chart the way ahead, and we are there to simply assist them, getting them to where they want to go. And so I think looking for organizations who have those meaningful, long-term, historic partnerships on the ground already, pre-disaster, are the ones that we should be giving to post-disaster.
Amy Costello is a senior correspondent and investigations editor with the Nonprofit Quarterly. She's also the host of the podcast Tiny Spark. Amy, good to speak with you. Thank you.
You're welcome, Marco.